Webs, come and join me. Well, got a question for you. Got some stuff in my bag here. Come over here where you can look at it. Yeah, we got some cans in there. That's right. All right. Let's see. Where well, you can see it, okay? All right. Got this. Got this. And got this, okay? All right. Now, what's this? What's in this can right here?
Bug spray.
Bug spray, all right. Now, let everybody else see that. Now, let's see. Y'all see that? Bug spray, okay. And what's in this can? What does it say? What's that word right there? That word right there. You can read that word.
Thinner.
It's lacquer thinner. Okay. And this is water in this bottle. Okay. Now, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Okay, you made a good choice. You made a real good choice there. Because what would happen to me if I drank this?
You die.
If I got enough of it, I'd really get sick. Boy, look at that, Raid. Any of y'all ever sucked on any of that before? Alright. How about this one?
No,
that's not good. This one? Not good either?
No.
I wouldn't drink this either?
No.
Alright, so y'all are going for this one, right?
Yes.
Alright, so you got three choices. There's only one it'd be good for me to drink. Right?
Two of them bad for me.
Okay, two of them are bad for me. Alright, so I want one of y'all to help me read this verse. Who wants to help me read this verse? Come on, Lasha. Come on. I'll help you. Come on. No, we read it together. How about that? Okay? Alright. Getting Lasha handsome. Alright. Okay. See right here?
Jesus said to him, I am the
way
and the
truth
and the life.
What's that word? Sound it out.
Father. But.
Through.
Me.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way to get to heaven. Only one way to have life. Only one way to have your sins forgiven. Just like I gave you these choices. All the other choices were bad, right?
Yeah.
Jesus said that he's the living water and he's the bread of life. It's only through him, the only way, that we can come and be with Father and be in heaven forever. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for the blessing they are to our lives. Lord, may we as adults come as little children with simple faith and trust you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, y'all got kids on you. Was Will Wallace. watching that that candle for me.
I'm about to pick up that bug spray.
Just want to make sure.
Oh my God.
Good morning. It's good to see the Martins back with us. The singing Martins. Came down here to make sure we were still here. They moved back, they said, for 2 days. Y'all can pray them back here. We sure do miss y'all. Lord bless you. It's good to see you here today. If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and while you turn there, let me introduce today's message. It is my final message. I told you last week I wasn't for sure if I was going to have one more H, but I decided I would. We'll look at the hereafter today. The hereafter. And different cultures, man, you Google this, you can see all and have all this information right at your fingertips. You can spend hours on this. Look at the way different cultures and peoples have handled the hereafter. How they look at what happens to us when we die. Now, I want to show you a picture of one. Let me see Egypt up there, John. By the way, just time out, footnote out to the side here. We've had all kinds of technology issues today. We've had one computer die. John's been back there. You know, he's got some little squirrels in a cage that are running, trying to keep everything going. And it's been difficult today. A lot of challenges today. A lot of quirky things today. And by the way, Lord, we pray right now against any distraction. Lord, if there's anything that the evil one will bring against us right now, we pray, Lord, that you, Lord, would open our eyes, let us see you in spirit and truth today. This time is for you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What kind of picture is that? What culture does that remind you of? Egyptian, right? Okay. Egyptians had a lot of beliefs about them. The hereafter, we know a lot about their lives because we get to see the pyramids, which were just gigantic tombs for the pharaohs, and that they believed that it was only the rich people that got mummified. By the way, it wasn't the poor people. Poor people, they took them out in the desert and let them bake because they believe that was part of helping you get into the hereafter. And you had to be prepared to go into the hereafter. And that's why in the Pharaoh's tombs you would find all these other things, including their servants and their animals, who often would be put to death inside the tomb with them when they died. So it wasn't good if the guy was tipping a little bit and you think he might be on the way out, man. You need to find somebody else to serve, not him. All kind of crazy beliefs about the hereafter. I mean, you can't, you know, I've got a great imagination, but man, you can't make stuff up that's better than this, okay? But you know what? Let's have the angel, John. We got some crazy things, too. We got this thing about angel wings and you know, when you die, you get a set of wings, and I'm up there flapping with everybody. I'm sitting on a cloud. That kind of, that's garbage. Where'd that come from? Right straight out of somebody's imagination. They've been looking at medieval pictures and art way, way too much. And on into the Renaissance. Okay. But, you know, going to the next one, John the Hallway. But then we've got this idea about, you know, that we're headed into the light. You know, and you hear these stories, I'm headed into the light. Now, I'm not here to debate with you about whether or not they saw light, what the light was. I don't know. I just have to say, I know there are books, there are movies and all about that, but I've got questions about a lot of that stuff because, you know, over here you got people that say they believe in Jesus that are seeing the light, and over here you got people that are serving Buddha that they see, that we're seeing the light too. You know, which light are you seeing? But this kind of nebulous, fuzzy thing about the hereafter. And if you're not careful, you get sucked up into this as we have assimilated in our country, in our culture, religions and people. I mean, we are the melting pot. We're the melting pot of cultures. But for generations, for several hundred years, we were not the melting pot and the synthesizing of all the world religions. That's just happened in the last few decades. That's just happened. That's very recent that has happened in our culture. Are you listening to me? Because if you're young here today, you're being assaulted with this stuff. It's what you have known, but I'm here to tell you, that hasn't been the way it's always been. And not here in our country. But so, today, 4th of John, we'll look at the afterlife. And basically, if you're coming at it from a Christian worldview, you got two choices. Now, I want to read a couple passages of Scripture to you. And one is out of Luke 16. The other one's out of 2 Corinthians 5. Luke 16, again, verse 19. By the way, this is not a parable. A parable is a story. Could be a made-up story, a generalized story, but generally a story is parable. Pair alongside of the lay to throw. It's a story that was thrown alongside of life so that you could reflect on life. It's not one of these. These are real people in this story. Now, there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyfully living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at the gate covered with sores. Got the picture there? Rich man in his opulence, beggar at the gate. Verse 21. And longing to be fed, this is the poor man, longing to be fed with crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now get this. And the rich man died and was buried. Next scene. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, so he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus's bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over here to you will not be able and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. They have five brothers, in order that he may warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. This is a hard story. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. You ever read that story? How many of you, that's a brand new story to you today? Yeah. Rich man and Lazarus, and here you have, you know, Lazarus obviously has trusted the Lord. He is a man of faith. He has trusted in the Lord. And he goes on to Abraham's bosom. A picture of heaven. What's called, before the cross, it's called paradise. Abraham's bosom, called several things in scripture. But it's going to be the Lord. Well, on another day, I will dissect with you all of the views of heaven and the judgments and all that. We'll do that another day. But I'm generalizing here today so you can get the picture of the choices. So, the rich man, he is separated from the Lord. We see that in the passage. There's torment. He's suffering. Now, I want to ask you, when you take the Lord out of anything, what do you have? Prince, you have a business. You worked in a business where no one there belonged to the Lord. What was that like? Yeah, it's like hell. Because there is no larger governing authority in their lives other than dealing with the evil one and his henchmen. And so there is there's that separation. Now, as I said, this is a real story. When the rich man realizes where he is, he realizes he's separated, he realizes that no one's coming to get him, that there's going to be no relief for him, that his life of opulence and all of that, that's not going to get him anywhere, that he's not going to be able to buy anybody off, he's not going to be able to, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, be able to do anything about his own situation, he begins to worry about other people. I've got five brothers. How about them? What's going to happen to them? Someone needs to go and tell them the story so they won't end up here, separated from the Lord. The ones that hear. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Now, we know that to be true from another story that involved another Lazarus, right? Because what happened when that Lazarus rose from the dead? When Jesus said, come out of that tomb. Some believed, but some did not believe, and they went sharing tales to the scribes and Pharisees. And you know, man, if you watch that, I mean, you need, you know, Lazarus comes out of there after 4 days, you'll be on your face before the Lord. And if you don't have him in your life, you say, Lord, I want you in my life. Or if you already do have him in your life, say, thank you, Lord, I've seen your power again. But what'd they do? And some of you are thinking that. Well, you know, these people in my life, if they would just see this, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because people get to choose. Now, I want you to see this story to see it's not a popular theme in churches today. I'm probably the only preacher in Savannah today, I'd be willing to guess, this talked about hell and about really being separated from the Lord. Now, there are others, and I probably don't do it enough. All right, let's go to another passage. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. But we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, he's talking about our body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. As much as we haven't put it on, we read this a few weeks ago, we'll not be found naked. For indeed, while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we are not wont to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. And that's the view of the believer. You know, as the longer we live in this life, and we get closer, the older we get in the Lord, the more we long to be with Him, because we feel like we're getting closer and closer to Him. Now, He prepared us for this very purpose, is God, who gave us the Spirit as His plan. So, who's stirring that up in us? It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is conforming us. We are being sanctified. That's a fancy word for being made holy. He is fashioning us in His image. You know, we're saved, and then He begins that process of sanctifying us, of conforming us into His image. Verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We're not in His physical presence in heaven. We walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 7, we're of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. You ever heard that quoted at a funeral? I quoted every funeral that I preach. Because for the believer, especially for the believer who's that, that's what happens. Click, click. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That happens the moment we die. The moment we die, it's one place or the other. There's no soul sleep. No. We can talk about that in passages that people know. I've talked to you about that at another time. No. You have, there is that reality of a choice. It goes on. Verse 9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. So now he looks at the whole process of life and he says, whatever we're doing as a believer, whether I'm going to die for the Lord or if I'm going to live for Him, I need to be pleasing to Him. Remember, Paul went through that time in Philippians. He says, you know, I don't know whether it's better to die or to stay here. Which is more pleasing to you? Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Therefore, so there is a time of judgment. As I said before earlier, we'll talk about the judgments at another time. But we are going to have to face that. Everybody's going to have to face that in their lives. Verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Let me stop right there. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. What was the rich man wanting Abraham to do in his behalf? For his brothers.
Even a guy that is separated from the Lord and in hell can realize that the number one thing for a person in their life is that they be persuaded and see the Lord. Even somebody in hell knows that. And here you have, Paul is admonishing them. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, knowing that we've got to face all of this, we've got to face our life and what we have done with this life. And that is that's a responsibility that we have as believers. The people around us it is not accidental that God intersects us with their lives. Because if they are apart from Jesus, we must have one mission for them. What is that? To persuade them to live our lives in such a way that they see that they need Jesus. Does that mean I'm going to be beating them over the head with the Bible and becoming obnoxious? Well, if that does any good, then do that. But it's probably not. It's probably not. I mean, when I was in college, I wore vampire fighting gear. I mean, I wore a cross big enough that, they'd use it in one of them vampire movies. Put that thing out there. Wear that thing around And finally, in gym class, in PE one day, I left it there in my locker. Somebody stole it. Didn't wear it the next week, and several believer friends of mine said, "Man, thank God you got rid of that thing. That's obnoxious." So, it's not being... Well, if I can get weird enough, I can live for Jesus. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about persuading people. We're talking about getting down in the trenches with them so they can see Jesus shining through our kindness, through our love, through our care, and through the truth, and being ready to give an account to them, to show them the way. Whatever we got to do. Best coaches I ever had in my life growing up were not the ones that stood up on a pedestal and talked down to us and said, "Now, boys, I want you to get out there and win the game today." Man, when over at Jenkins High School, when I played basketball in 10th grade, when our coach got a hold of me, I didn't know jack squat about basketball. I didn't know how to block anybody out. I didn't know how to shoot a jump shot. I didn't know any of that stuff. He got down there and showed me how to do it. He got down in there with me. We're going to persuade people. That's what we've got to do. Because it's heaven or hell for them. Which is it going to be? Are they going to die? Well, they're either going to die or Jesus is coming back. One or the other. One of the man wants to die after that judgment. Are they going to die? This student, Rick alluded to student earlier, that died this past week from gunshot. How many gunshot victims have we had around Savannah? You think those people got up that morning and said, "You know I'm going to die"? My good friend, I did his funeral on Tuesday. Healthy as a horse. Digging out his flowers in his garden, and he goes to the doctor for a routine examination, finds out that he has leukemia. Leukemia didn't kill him, by the way. They're treating him for that there in the hospital. And he dies of a massive heart attack. Just like that. No. So, how How do you get ready? Well, listen to this. Hear the gospel. And we need to be ready to share this, to show this, but never shove this. Hear it. Then separated from God. Hang on just a second. Nixon. Listen, I'll talk to you again. Right now, we're on a real important point right now. Real important. Romans 3:23. All, everybody. Everybody. The ground is level. Everybody's separated from God. We're running around worrying about why people act in this way. Because they're separated from God. And that's how separated from God people act. And when you begin to lift that off of a culture, when you begin to lift that Christian worldview off of our government, when you begin to lift it off of our families and off of our institutions in our country, what happens? Who rushes in with his agenda? The world, the flesh, the devil. All are separated. Hey, but God, eternity past, we see the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Scripture says he was already planning. He already knew. He already knew that we were going to be separated from him. He was planning the sin. If you need one, know my son Jesus, denying our place. He loved us. What love? Greater love hath no man than this. A man will lay down his life for his friends. And he said, what do you say about us? And you're my friends. He says that to the world. We need to be saying that to the world. Instead of cursing the darkness. And let me tell you, there's plenty of darkness right now I'd like to curse. You need to turn light. The light of Christ. So I can see. Separated. But into this, God brings his love. And he comes personally. He sent his messengers. Like says the book of Hebrews, God at sundry times, divers places, in his last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. He came. And what did he do? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He died in place, cruel on the cross, by himself, alone. Alone. He took upon himself the sin of the whole world. It's the crux of the gospel. God came personally. He died. You see, you can know all that, you can know all three, and still not change anybody's life, and still everybody go to hell. The final thing is, we get to choose. Let me tell you, somebody new. Somebody new. He gets it into your language, doesn't he? All the different testimonies that we can have today where the Lord has come to us and he has shown himself. He has shown that we are separated from him, but his love reaches out to us and he gives to us the opportunity to receive him into our lives. And you see, that's why he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the previous verse of the one we read with the kids today. We read that John 14:6 today. That's the earlier part of that, the first five verses of that. That he's prepared a place. He not only rescues us, but he's prepared a home for us forever. He's prepared a life for us to live while we're still here. We need to get busy doing it. Living it. Living is life. You have an oikos. You have a system of people around you that you're connected with in your life. Do they know that you know that you have Jesus in you? I'm not asking you to be stupid. I'm not asking you to be an ignoramus. I'm not asking you to be weird. I'm asking you today to become a lover. Just like Jesus. And we can share the good news. How many times I have been called at the last moment, preacher, you got to come, so-and-so's dying. I'll come. I don't think he knows the Lord. Well, my first question is, have you told him? Yeah, I'm a preacher, but God's given all of us the responsibility of telling the story, of sharing the life. But how many times? Audrey's uncle, her uncle Titus. Titus lived a rough and rowdy life. Battled with alcohol all his life. Got in an accident, went in the hospital, and drowned. And guess what? Like the prodigal son, but the scripture says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. He received Jesus in his life. I can tell you that story over and over and over again. He was a changed man. You know what the shame of that story is? That you had to come down to the last minute. And we never got to see saved Titus turned loose in his community. We never got to see that. When you're saved just by the hair of your chin, you know, the flames, or, you know, you're singed a little. About you. This message has made us uncomfortable today. And rightly so. Because we need to start getting uncomfortable about the state of the people who live around us. We need Jesus. Now, am I telling you? Tomorrow at work, you got a little snapshot of that heaven and hell picture on your phone. You snap that picture. Here's what my preacher preached on yesterday. And let me tell you, if something doesn't change in life, you're going to hell. Well, it might be if you need to say that. Say that to them that way. They might need 2x4 theology right there. But what does the word persuade? Paul said, I've become all things to all men that might win some. We're standing there in McRae, and I'm watching a lot of Mexican American people come in for clinic.
My Spanish is so old and so decrepit, I couldn't have put two sentences together. Been a long time since I spent time down in Mexico, and was getting better at it, but it's long gone. And there I stand, this overweight, very white, tall, and the outfit I picked out that day, Miss Audrey didn't get a chance to veto it. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking, these people are coming in, and I'm thinking, oh boy, how's this going to happen? Now, can it happen? Yes, it can. And eventually, by the end of the day, we're able to meet some people and be there with them and begin to share the gospel with some men. But you know what? You know who was on the front line? All the people who spoke Spanish. All the people who looked like them. All the people who were there with them. Are you listening to me, Tina? Are you listening to me, college students? Are you listening to me? Some of you thought I was going to say something. People that are more like me. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to use you and speak through you. And you have an audience. I'm asking you, I'm begging you today. Use the audience. Let me tell you, if you're pregnant right now, and we have two in the room that I know that are. If you're pregnant right now, you can walk down the hall and get an audience just like that. Just like that. They're up there. I used to push my children in the stroller because it was bait. Because they'd stop, cute child, no, yes sir. And then eventually transfer the conversation around. I'm telling you, God made you the way you are, and He wants to use you the way you are. Now, some of you construction guys, now, some of you don't think I speak construction. But I want you to know, I grew up in construction, and you know what I'm talking about. Some of you that I'm looking, you know how these guys talk. And sometimes you don't need to use fancy language with them. Cut to the chase, man. That's the way they live their lives. Spin it that way. Use it that way. Do you get me? Do you understand? He's planted you. It's time to blossom. Blossom where you are. This city is going to hell. Somebody needs to get out there and throw their body out in the way to chop the wheels on this locomotive so it doesn't go to hell and carry all these people. We've got to be those people right where we are. That's you. I've got a few other things to say. Look. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we give you this time as we come to the altar. And I ask you to prick our hearts. Move us. Let us, Lord, quit our belly aching, our complaining. And Lord, let us get busy in the kingdom, in the harvest field. Lord, we want to see heaven richer and hell poorer today. Lord, I'm praying for people in the sound of my voice that may have never really done business with you, that today would be the day of salvation. Amen. Lord, I'm praying for many of us, Lord, that are just living life and ignoring the people around us. Lord, may we take notice and take notice of their spiritual condition. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. We'll open the altar. If you want to come and receive the Lord, ask the pastors to come and here with us right now. We'll open the altar. And if you want to come and pray, if you want to come and intercede for somebody today that needs the Lord, you come now. It's your time. While we're listening to the Lord, I want you to hear this brief testimony from my dad's.
I've really been listening to Pastor's sermons, and I've been doing the Bible study series, Experiencing God. And it talks about putting self aside and doing what God wants you to do. And I had gone down to the homeless ministry through the Oasis at the Baptist Center and was assisting the women with doing their laundry and trying to be, you know, a word of encouragement. Well, as I continued through Experiencing God, it encouraged me to go further. It came for the sermon, and thus he encouraged me to go further and to listen to God's voice and to actually step out in faith and do what God showed me to do. Well, when I first went down there, they didn't like me very much. I mean, I still had the ministry, and I guess that was a little bit of rejection. And I said, well, what do I need to do? So, as I continued to study and I continued to pray, God showed me that something I'd done previously in another environment was something I could do again. And so, I wanted to start a nail ministry because I knew the homeless women, some of them live in tents. They don't have clean hands. They have dirty nails. And so, I started a nail ministry. At first, I just started cleaning and shaping. But as I did that, and God showed me he wanted me to be a friend, so I just talked about what's going on with me, what I'm doing with my grandchildren, what you're doing with yours. They started talking. Well, I want you to know now, it's really blessed my heart. We don't have enough chairs for people to sit in. So I'm just so grateful for my Bible study, for Experiencing God, and I'm thankful for my pastor who really preaches the truth. Thanks.
Dear Lord, I put it in your hands. Use this. Can you use this? He is the ultimate MacGyver. The ultimate MacGyver. He can use whatever we put in his hand. I want to pray one more prayer. How many of you need physical healing in your body? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, all right. And then how many of you have a dear one in your life that needs physical healing? You believe that Jesus is a great physician?
Yes.
Believe he can heal?
Yes.
All right, let's pray. This is going to be our send you out prayer. Jesus, you not only heal our souls, but you'll heal our bodies. And Lord, we're praying today, right now, every hand that was raised in faith, we're praying for the healing miracle of God to come. For you to do what man can't do. Lord, if you choose to do it through medicine, and you choose to do it through doctors, well, however you choose to do it, Lord, we're asking you to come with your healing and with your power, and may your name be lifted up through this as you send us out for a people that is no longer hell-bound, but a people that is heaven bound and wanting to load up the tree. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in grace.